the 260 Dugout Podcast. Welcome to your destination for all things baseball in the Summit City. The 260 Dugout Podcast, presented by the Old Fort Baseball Company. From Little League to Major League Baseball, it's time to go inside the dugout. Here's your host, DC Hendricks.
And welcome in. This is the 260 Dugout Podcast. I am your host, DC Hendricks. Special shout out to our sponsor, Old Fort Baseball Company, and our good buddy, Logan Weening. Of course, this is the big episode everybody's been waiting on. I talked about it on 1380 The Fan, live on Talking Sports, as I filled in for Jim Shovlin. We've talked about it on social media. I've got all the messages, and it is time. It's time to give out some information. We'll be talking about it a little bit later on. We're talking travel ball, as tryouts are going around all over the city here in the 260 for the next 2026 season of travel baseball, and I definitely wanted to have that discussion, and I got a great guest to talk about that. But first, I want to highlight a great business that is here in the 260, and we are out here broadcasting live from GSP Hitting out here, and I definitely wanted to bring on Justin Glass from GSP Hitting. Justin, what's going on, man?
Nothing too much, man. Thanks for having me on today. Appreciate it.
Of course. I've been wanting to do this for a while. I think you were one of the first people I reached out to when I first started the show, and we finally made it happen, man.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. This is really cool. It's also really cool, and I appreciate you actually coming here and doing it in person. I think it's always cool to actually see the facility with your eyes.
Yes.
Because it helps say, hey, is this a good place, bad place, or whatever. So thanks for coming.
Yeah, that's a whole part of the pod, too. I interview all the players and coaches. I go to the dugouts, and this is as close to the dugout as we can get. I got to come see it in person, as you said. But for people that are listening, I know a lot about you. Definitely got to know a lot about you before we started recording. But for people that are listening, remind them and, you know, kind of give them information on who Justin Glass is, where you come from, and your background in baseball.
Yeah. So I am a Fort Wayne guy. I was born and raised here. I went to Carroll High School and graduated in 2010. At Carroll, our senior year, we won the state championship, so that was awesome.
Nice.
Had a good little career there. Great coaching staff there, so I want to give them a shout out with Coach Kinder, Coach Wimmiller, Coach Lance. Those guys definitely prepared me to have a lot of success in college. I had a good experience under them, and love that program. Still talk to those guys to the day. So from Carroll, you know, I had a good senior year, got some draft interest from that perspective. So that was cool and unique to go through. Growing up, though, I didn't play much travel ball out of Fort Wayne. I was a guy that, you know, at 12 years old, I was down in Indy playing already.
Wow.
Yeah. So at that time, I felt like I was kind of like the odd guy out. There wasn't a lot of people doing it. I think there's a little bit more now. But at that time, I think people were like, what the heck is this guy doing? Right. So it was a good experience from that. I played for the Bulls from a travel perspective. So it was good. And from there, basically after Carroll, I got to play baseball at the University of Cincinnati.
Nice.
Had a good little career there. Started every game from freshman to senior year. Got a lot of individual accolades from all conference, freshman All-American records. And, you know, at the end of the day, I got to see a lot of cool stuff. And I left college with no debt. So I can't complain too much about that.
What positions were you playing?
Yeah, so I was an outfielder. I was a left-handed hitting outfielder. Played center at Carroll, so it was fast. And as you go play Division I baseball, there's always people that are bigger, stronger, faster. So played more of left and right field when I was at Cincinnati.
Would you say you were more of a contact hitter or a power hitter? What were your strengths? Or a little bit of both?
Everything. I hate to say it like that, like, hey, I was good at everything. But, you know, I had a good high average at high school. I hit over 500 my senior year. I hit 16 home runs. So at that time, like, I could hit the ball pretty good.
Nice.
In college, though, that was like the first round of BB Corps bats. And then, yep. I think dead baseballs at that point. I was hitting maybe 5 or 6 home runs a year, but hitting, you know, 320, 330, 360 one year. So I felt like I was a good gap-to-gap hitter, hit some home runs, not known to be a high home run guy, low average, just an all-around typical three-hole hitter trying to, you know, do what's best for the team.
Based off of what I've heard, it sounded like you should have been getting – did you get a little bit of MLB interest?
Yeah, so in high school we did. I got to play right before my senior year started. I made something called the East Coast Pro Showcase.
Okay.
So similar to Area Code, scouts basically create this team of about 4 or 5 states together. You go down, at that time it was in Lakeland, Florida. There's about 6 different teams from all over the country, and it was simply pro-based. So that was right after I committed to Cincy. And that kind of opened the door of, I think people saw me as a left-handed hitter. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 6'2", 185 pounds, athletic, could throw the ball good, could run. Maybe it's a draft guy. So as the high school season kind of progressed my senior year, and we did fairly well as a team and individually, mm-hmm. More pro scouts just start showing up. and having conversations with myself, with my parents, the coaches, had a, you know, a couple over to our house. And then I think we had a couple opportunities that it was going to potentially happen. Signing stuff, the money necessarily wasn't right at the time. So went to school, I ended up not getting drafted out of high school then. Mm-hmm. From the college perspective though, had an opportunity to have that happen my junior year. Mm-hmm. It wasn't necessarily in the position that I had wanted it to happen, so as high as in the draft as I wanted.
Yeah.
Had a new coach come in my senior year, and at that point was like, you know what? I'm going back my senior year. I like this dude. At that point, he was the assistant at IU. Mm-hmm. And I got recruited and offered by IU. And so I liked him a lot. And at that point, a signing bonus. And basically from that point, then going after my senior year, it stinks. But I love it. How it happened is that was probably my most enjoyable year at Cincy. Stat-wise, my worst year individually. So I didn't end up getting an opportunity to play professionally. I did tear my labrum, so in my throwing arm. So I had surgery after my freshman year.
Yeah.
And I would tell you, I went from having a cannon to maybe shot putting three hop in a ball from left field to second base.
Wow.
So that definitely didn't help my chances of getting drafted after that.
Yeah.
And if you even watch me throw BP in here today, I think most people would kind of laugh and be like, man, what, the guy looks like a T-Rex throwing. So yeah, that's kind of how my career went from a baseball perspective, from an opportunity to maybe play further after college, from the MLB-wise. But yeah, I have a lot of experience in going through the collegiate recruiting process and honestly even the draft process, so it's been helpful for a lot of kids we work with.
Yeah, so that's what brings us here today. I mean, so what led you to starting GSP Hitting? As this is my first time coming out to the facility, which I live 15 minutes from here, so that's a tragedy in itself. But yeah, this is a great facility. So what led you into starting, you know, this great business that you have called GSP Hitting?
Yeah, so in 2020, obviously the pandemic was here. I was the director of sales for the Indianapolis Colts at that time. So I was managing a team that was selling season tickets, club seats, group tickets, a whole lot of stuff, right? We got sent home, so we're working from home. To be perfectly honest, to talk about the draft stuff, when that didn't happen, I would say I had a pretty bitter taste in my mouth for baseball.
Yeah.
And wanted nothing to do with it.
Gotcha.
We were a part of a gym in Indianapolis, CrossFit Westfield, and the owners at that time, Brian and Kelly Cox, I wouldn't say they pushed me into this, but they definitely sold me on just giving their kids lessons at the gym and said, hey, you can throw up a cage, you can do whatever. And then I would say that fast forward 5 years, it's a full-fledged thing. It's a real business. That's how the hitting part started, I would say, last year. So in 2024, we started the sports performance side. And so we started our first 3 years of the business in Westfield Carmel area. In the past year and a half, we've been doing it out of Fort Wayne, which is our home place.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. So go ahead and promote, you know, the services that you provide for people that are curious on what services you provide and how they can get in contact with you and, you know, how all that good stuff works.
Yeah, so I want to give a quick background on the people who are involved. Mm-hmm. And then I have some numbers I'll run through that'll kind of help paint like a very clear picture on kind of what we're about, right? So I've said enough about myself. I'm lucky enough to have my wife involved with this. So my wife and I own it together. Her name is Andrea Glass. She was Andrea Neubauer, went to Concordia, played basketball at IU. Andrea runs the sports performance side. So she also is a physical therapy assistant at Fortify, which I would tell you, anybody listening to this, if you get hurt, I would 100% go to Fortify for any physical therapy needs. They are the best in town by far. So my wife runs that. So she's a PTA. She has her National Strength and Conditioning certification. She played basketball at IU. And she just genuinely cares a lot about this. So she has a lot of conversations with college programs on how they run their strength and conditioning. So we do that from a sports performance perspective. That's not something to replace like what high schools do. It's really in conjunction to. And we do program that a lot about what like college baseball, volleyball, softball, basketball workouts look like. And we intertwine that thing here. So separate from the sports performance aspect, we do the hitting. So I'm a part of the hitting. There's also another guy who does the hitting with me named Sean Herberger. Sean's been in the Fort Wayne scene for a while now. He's done travel ball coaching. He played at JUCO and he played at PFW at the time. And he actually coached at Indiana Tech for a handful of years.
Yep.
So Sean does the hitting with me and he's awesome. And then brand new, actually, it actually started yesterday. Ashley Miller, who was a Leo softball grad. She played 3 years at Michigan State and then finished her career at Northwestern. And she was Big Ten Pitcher of the Year there.
Wow.
She actually started doing softball pitching here. So I feel like the team we have, like we have a lot of playing experience, We played at very high levels, but we want to help everybody here. So that kind of gives everybody background, I guess, on the people who are involved, which I feel like we have a very highly qualified team. Mm-hmm. You can't escape that. To give everybody some background on some different numbers, though. So obviously we work from sports performance and hitting. Our number one goal is to help get kids to the next level for college. Whether that be D3, NAIA, D2, D1, JUCO, doesn't matter. We want to do what's best for each kid and family and help them get to that situation. Mm-hmm. So as you probably saw, and you guys can't, maybe you'll see on social media, we have all of our pennants up for kids that are in college. Mm-hmm. There's over 50 pennants up for kids that have played baseball, softball, and actually our volleyball girl is up there as well. So we have 50 kids that have played in college in the 2025 class. So these kids are going to start college in about a month. We had 34 college signees out of that.
Wow.
So pretty powerful from that perspective. And I would tell you in the 2026 class, we already have 6 college commits. From athletes that work here, we have over 100 athletes that actually do hitting and sports performance here, mm-hmm. to a degree, right? And varying forms. Mm-hmm. From a drive perspective, this is what I like to talk about. The furthest kid that we work with drives it 2 hours and 45 minutes to work at GSP. The closest is 10 minutes.
Where is that from?
Yeah, so we have a couple kids outside of Chicago.
Over wow.
They go to Andrean.
That's solid.
Yeah, so we have that. We have a lot of kids that come from Indy.
Yeah.
I would actually tell you, if you looked at our base, we work with over kids that go to 30-plus different high schools.
Yeah.
And 60% of the athletes we work with drive at least 30 minutes to come here.
Wow.
So not only do we want to be a great asset for Fort Wayne and the surrounding area,
yeah.
At this point, honestly, I view it as like we want to be something that's special in Indiana, Southern Michigan, Western Ohio. We're trying to be a good regional aspect for a lot of these athletes. So we're doing what we can from that perspective. Mm-hmm. And I think what we push is it's quality over quantity. When you come here, we don't work with everybody for hitting, nor should everybody work for us. Like, we're not right for everybody either, right? Mm-hmm. From the sports performance perspective, like, we keep track of people's weights. We use dash laser timers, so like it is not hand timing here. We use Skyhook for vertical testing for jumping, so you can't cheat the system. Like, we use Virtuve, which is velocity-based training.
Wow.
So we do a lot of different things like that. So yeah. When you come in here, like, this is a very high-quality feel. We got the people in the right places to do it, but we also have the technology, experience, and knowledge to back it up. And then obviously it speaks for itself. So that's like our goal. That's what GSP is. I would say we're really working with kids that are about 8th grade and up at this point. We're starting to get a couple of younger groups. Something that's important to us is we're not affiliated with any travel ball program. So, like, obviously we have recommendations for that. And we have, you know, obviously travel organizations recommend certain people to come work with us, right?
Yeah.
But I do feel very strongly about just not necessarily being tied to a travel program in that sense. So, yeah, that was a lot of info. But that's who we are, what we do, and why we do it.
Yeah, I mean, so you kind of alluded to the next topic, but before we go to travel ball talk, in case someone is interested, how can they get in touch with you to book a session or even just come, you know, even work with you and see the facility?
Yeah, so from the sports performance perspective, I'll start kind of in that realm. We do all of our stuff in 8 to 10 week blocks. So it's not a, hey, you're going to pay a monthly fee and show up. We do it in the 8 to 10 week block time frame. That way we can do pre-testing and post-testing for each kid. We want to put our money, you know, basically where our mouth is, right? And say, hey, we've got to show this improvement for kids. And this is why you want to come back, right? So basically the way to get in there, DM us, social media, GSP_hitting or Glass_sportperform on Instagram. Instagram's the best. We do have Twitter, but Instagram's the best. From a hitting perspective, we do batting evaluations for any kid who would like to hit here, right? So if you would like to set up a batting evaluation, we do have our website, which is gsphitting.com. You can fill out the contact thing there, and then we'll reach out or message us on Instagram. That's a great way to get in touch with myself, for us to set that up with something with me, Sean, or obviously softball pitching. If you want to pitch with the Big Ten pitcher of the year, we'll hit up Ashley and get her involved as well.
Yeah, quick shout out to Sean Herberger who just walked in during the interview. Definitely wanted to give him a shout out for walking past.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Cool dude. So one thing that you said during your, you know, background on GSP was that you're here to service the kids, right? And you know, to better them for the next step as they prepare for the next step. And that's something that I could tell, you know, just, you know, this is the first time we've met each other,
yeah.
Right? But just gauging your social media, I'm a social media guy, so I have a really good gauge on people and accounts and what they're about before I even meet them.
Yeah.
And I got that sense from you before I even met you, from just from your interaction with the kids, you know, your posts, your shares and things like that. And that's why I felt like you were the perfect person to have this conversation with. So
yeah, thank you.
It's travel baseball season. It's going all around here in the 260. You know, parents are hauling their kids out to, you know, either the World Baseball Academy or Indiana Tech or St. Francis or wherever there's tryouts going on. And this is the big season. I get it. And I and myself am a potential travel ball parent. So I want to be as neutral as possible. That's why I don't really want to bring travel programs on to have this discussion, because there's no way they can have an honest discussion when they're running a travel organization.
Yeah.
There's no way they can be completely open and completely honest. So,
correct,
in
yeah.
my opinion, anyway. So with you being neutral, I felt like you were great for this. So from your perspective, before we even move to parents or kids, from your perspective, what would you, you know, what would you say is the current landscape? Where would you say it's at right now in the 260 in terms of travel baseball?
Yeah, so I think to help like paint a good picture of what the current landscape is in Fort Wayne and in Indiana as a whole in the Midwest, at least talk about it what it was when I grew up. And so let's say like, you know, 2003 to 2010, 2012, right? At that point, I think if you looked at high school baseball and softball specifically, I'm not talking about basketball, I have nothing about that, right?
Yeah.
I would say in a typical high school baseball softball team, you probably had about 6 to 7, maybe 8 kids tops that were playing travel ball. Not every player played travel ball at that point, right? At that point, there were fewer teams, higher quality, in my opinion. And that's what it was like. You didn't have a lot of teams that had the option to say, hey, we offer sports performance too. We offer discounted hitting lessons too. We offer discounted pitching. There wasn't all of that. At that time, I would also say that if you were playing travel ball, you were wanting to play college sports, right? So that's kind of where I work off of and how I grew up and what we know, right? So to go from there to where we are today, the reason things were like that then is from a recruiting perspective, most colleges were not reaching out until about July or August going into your senior year, no matter if you were a Division I guy or not, or girl, right? So everything was slowed down. So to work into your senior year, it was more about how do I develop to the best player I can be by junior, senior year of high school, and then things get going. Since then, in between now and then, recruiting rules changed where kids were able to start opening that up and committing in eighth grade, freshman year, sophomore year. So I almost kind of feel like if we looked at it, we went from early 2000s of the focus on development, and then somewhere between now and then, the focus was more on exposure. So showcases. Travel tournament
tournaments.
Has blown up, right?
Yeah.
We're seeing kids.
Perfect game.
Yeah, perfect prep game. Prep baseball.
Under Armour.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it came to like, how do we get more exposure now? And we'll take care of the development in the background. It wasn't the number one goal, but it was exposure now, which I'm not saying that's wrong because that was the name of the game at that point, right?
Yep.
Now, that was probably up until about 2 years ago. Things have changed in 2 years, and this is from a recruiting perspective, where now schools can't reach out until either August 1st or September 1st of kids' junior year, so it's gotten pushed back. You will not see kids commit in baseball and softball until that point. And then we can probably work down this rabbit hole too, but like how NIL and the transfer portal and then even the House versus the NCAA lawsuit has affected all of this, right?
Yeah.
So current landscape today for travel ball, there are a lot of teams. So even in this Fort Wayne surrounding area, I think I've counted at least 8+ programs. There was maybe 1 or 2 when Sean and I were growing up playing. I would tell you in the state of Indiana that there's even more, right?
Oh, yeah.
From a tournament perspective, there was usually only one tournament, you know, vendor, I would say Bullpen at the time kind of go to. Now there's Bullpen, Crossroads, Pastime, PBR. There's a lot, right? So there's a lot of options. I just feel like in today's landscape, too, if you look at it from a high school perspective, instead of the 6 to 8 players playing, every player is travel ball. I would also tell you though, not every player is going to go play in college. So I don't think we have enough people being very honest with people in the process, and a lot of people are getting dragged on till they're at the end of high school to say, hey, you got to keep playing, it's going to happen, and it's just not the truth. So the hard part in today is there's a lot of clutter. There's a lot of noise. I think of like static. It's like you put a TV on the wrong channel in the 2000s and it just
that black and white, black and white screen. Yeah, I get it. Do you think this aligns with the problems that we're having in Little League? Because like when I grew up, like I just played Little League. all the way until I was like 13 years old.
Is there a Little League anymore?
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's still, like, I coach out at Wallen. I help coach at Elmhurst Little League, St. Joe, Georgetown. They're all still running. Yeah. I just think, you know, and one experience that I had a lot when I was coaching was one or two kids might miss practice because they're playing in a travel tournament.
Yep.
Or they're got to go to that practice or something like that. And it's like, it's they're kind of like interchanged each other. Do you think that could be an issue? Like,
100%.
Do you think the problem with Little League is what's causing some of the issues in travel ball?
Maybe. I would actually look at it more as, like, I think travel ball is probably causing more of the issues in Little League. Mm. So, like, I would tell you, I did play Wallen, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. I played it all the way to 12 years old. I thought it was great. Where I think today's, unfortunately, like, today, how everything's looked is we're starting travel teams at, you know, 9, 10U, but it's not, like, local Fort Wayne.
I've seen some at 7U.
Yeah, and so
it's like you just learn how to hit off a tee.
Yeah, like, and so it's like I think a lot of people just maybe I don't want to say they feel the pressure to like get involved with that.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, hey, I got to keep up with what everybody else is doing, or maybe they're just not educated enough to maybe like make the right choice. So like, if I were to have a kid right now play locally in Fort Wayne, I would tell them to play the wall and stuff until at least they're 12, 13U. I would not play travel ball until then. And I would basically say, hey, after that point, because, you know, Sean and I work with these kids. We may have a kid coming in sixth grade. We don't know how they grow and mature. And
right.
Maybe they don't even like baseball and softball in 2 years, you know? Like, we work with freshmen in high school who I want to play in college. I'm all in. Mm-hmm. A year from now, they may be more into, like, cars mm-hmm. or something else. And that's totally fine. So that's where, like, I'm a big believer on, like, you know, if my wife and I are lucky enough to have a kid and they want to play sports, like, we're going to try to keep it as local rec as we can until we get a feel of, like, they really want to play, right? And then from that perspective, you can kind of takes a life of its own. So I do feel like travel ball is probably causing more of the issues in those local rec leagues.
Yeah.
I wish that was something that was more pushed. Unfortunately, you are right. Like, we do hear too many situations of people who won't allow that. And like, full transparency, like, we don't work with a lot of kids that are younger than 13.
Yeah.
Because I personally feel like as a parent and like trying to spend your money, like, that's probably, you probably should not be taking your 10-year-old to batting lessons, pitching lessons, or anything.
Right.
They should probably be outside playing tag.
Yeah.
Having fun and playing wiffle ball. And make
they
sure
would
they
probably
like
rather
it.
Be doing that than
yeah,
being forced to go hit in a facility with people they don't know.
And, like, I can give this perspective real quick. So my wife and I lived in Indianapolis for 7 or 8 years in Carmel, Westfield.
Yeah.
It's a different beast down there.
Mm-hmm.
I wish Fort Wayne had some of that. But I also wish Indy had time of Fort Wayne. And it was like a best of both worlds. Now, down there, they're nuts from 8 years old on. Like, starting speed and agility, strength.
Yeah.
You know, traveling all over the country for everything. And it's like, man, we're going to burn these kids out. Up here, though, I would also tell you, I don't think enough people take it serious until they're like junior year of high school. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, I'm going to start taking this really serious now where it's almost too late.
Yeah.
So I wish there was a fine balance. And we like to tell people this eighth grade freshman year, that's like a good starting point to say, hey, how serious do you want to take this? Do you need to make moves? Just getting in the gym with a sports performance, find out the travel from that perspective. So the landscape right now is very cluttered. It's very staticky. There's a ton of noise. There's too many people in it. There's too many people involved.
Too many teams.
There's not enough people doing what's right for the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's really hard to navigate unless you know somebody who's very educated in it and can help declutter that for you.
Yeah, so as a, you know, for parents that are, you know, looking and, you know, I know a lot of parents that are just having their kids try out for as many teams as possible just to even see what the right fit is for them, to see what team the kid vibes with the most and, you know, things like that. So for a parent, you know, and I've seen the threads and that's kind of what got our discussion going. You know, as a parent, you know, that is looking to put their kid in travel baseball, whatever the age is, you know, I try not to, you know, we all have our different parenting preferences where some people think, you know, my kid should play 7U baseball. That's fine if that works for you. But either way, what measures do you think parents need to take in order to find that right organization for them? And how do they know?
Yeah, so I think, can I split this up into like two different parts?
Mm-hmm.
Is like one is younger than high school, and then one is like older than high school. So, you know, for younger than high school, so you're thinking, you know, if you wanted to start in elementary school, middle school, what I'd recommend is you try to play locally here in Fort Wayne. How do you play in tournaments, how do you be a part of organizations that play in tournaments at the WBA? They're close. Maybe we go to India a couple of times. Do I think it's necessarily needed to like go to Georgia, Lake Point, Florida and stuff at those ages? I don't necessarily think that. I think what it's really important is just to not burn those kids out and play 70, 80 games. Keep it fresh. I don't think fall baseball is a must for those kids either. Let them play football, play a different sport from that perspective, and then just have fun with it. So I think that's a great point, a great area, like pre-high school, to get more kids involved to see if they really like it. So those are the things I would look for if I was a parent is, one, how much are you traveling? Are we staying around Fort Wayne? Is it affordable? I would even say for those younger groups, like, keep it to baseball, softball. I think adding on things like the sports performance, discounted lessons, and all this development, it sounds good in theory.
Right.
I'm not going to bring up any programs today or anything, obviously, but
yeah.
I think that's just really hard to accomplish. Once we stretch ourselves too thin in things, we can't be great at a couple things. And I think once, even a business, if we start offering too many things, like, we're going to become very mediocre in everything. That's something to look out for, I think, for younger groups. For older groups now, like, this comes from my perspective of, if you're in high school, you're playing college baseball and softball, like, your goal is to play college softball or baseball. That's why you're playing travel ball.
Right.
If that's not your goal, do not play travel sports anymore. I know that's hard to do, but like, that's my take on it. So everything I say kind of comes from that perspective. When you look at programs while you're in high school, who I should play for, one, you should look at who their recent college commits are. I say recent is like over the past year or two. The reason you should look at that versus like all time is recruiting rules have drastically changed. At this point, I would tell you the odds that a kid goes Division I is going to be extremely minimal.
Mm-hmm.
Many Division I's, Power 4, Power 5's are recruiting other Division I's for them. They're taking maybe 3 or 4 high schoolers at most now. I would tell you, because we've experienced it, even MAC, mid-major, low-level Division I schools are taking Division II NAIA players over high school players at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So one, our players and parents need to be more realistic and okay with playing at good NAIA schools. I would tell, you know, I feel like back when I played, people were like, I don't want to go play that. It's not good. Go out and watch St. Francis, Huntington, Indiana Tech, you know, go watch Taylor. Like, one, those baseball and softball programs are pretty freaking good.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are huge. And that's something we talk to our high schoolers about is, like, you're not too good for that. Like, these guys and girls are very good there. And if you – actually, we'll actually challenge them because we have their players come here. Like, come hit with them. Let's see if you're better than it, right?
Right, right.
So from that perspective, have a realistic approach because recruiting's changed. So when you're looking at that travel stuff, how do I put myself in a position to get seen?
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at the past couple years. Where have the kids gone? How do we, you know, filter through that? Number two, I would say look and see what the teams are playing. Their tournaments. I'm a big believer in playing at Grand Park, and, you know, a couple bullpen PBR tournaments are great. There's a lot of exposure. There's a lot of recruiting there. There's obviously other tournament venues that do a really good job, too. Those are the ones I just have the most experience with.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they do a great job of playing down there. I think there's a couple good tournaments. If you go to Lake Point, that's a good tournament. Hoover, Alabama, for very top-level people.
Mm-hmm.
See where they travel. I think if you can play it with a travel ball program that plays maybe 5 to 7 tournaments a summer is great. Anything more than 7, that's overdoing it, in my opinion. So that's also something to look for. Another thing I would say, look at the coaching staff. Is it parents? Is it former players? We do recommend organizations that are with a lot of former players. They do a good job coaching. It can help keep things neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say all parent coaches are bad. There are some ones out there that are very good. And I know a couple of them that come here, and they do a good job. You know, I would say for the most part, I would avoid parent coaches as much as possible, especially when you're playing in high school.
Yeah. Real quick, that's a big reason, you know, I've been asked a couple of times to coach, you know, a travel program or help coach. It makes me kind of hesitant because my perspective is if my kid's playing on a travel team and there's a parent coach on there, it makes me feel a kind of way. It's like, all right, so are they going to give the special treatment? Is their kid going to be playing shortstop every game and making sure they're at shortstop and pitching and wherever they want to play while my kid's in left field this inning and sitting the next inning? Like, that's thoughts that run through your head.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't want to be looked at that way either. as a parent coach, whether even if I'm not like that, that's my perspective. So I'm with you definitely. That was one of the things that that was mentioned in the tweet.
Yeah.
Was parent coaches. So I definitely wanted to highlight that.
It's good to keep it neutral. I think it's good for just the energy of the program, the team too, to kind of just have it neutral too.
Yeah.
I think that just takes away a lot of problems too.
Yeah.
Another big thing I look for high school programs that I highly recommend is allowing the players to train and develop where they want. I think that, you know, organizations that allow the parent and player to say, hey, if you want to go work out at GSP or you want to work out at, you know, facility X or facility Y, like, you do that as long as you're putting in the work.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you can go hit with who you want to hit with. We're not going to force you to hit with somebody because we're giving discounted lessons to them. We're not going to have you do sports performance because it's added into your player fees type deal. So, like, I very much do like that. One, because it allows the player and parent to pick it, but also it kind of like forces their hand to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like sometimes just by offering it, not every kid needs to like take part in it, or they're going to.
Right.
I think it's a separator. Like, we've seen it a lot where some of these kids come in and they hit multiple times a week. They lift. They just want it more than other kids.
Mm-hmm.
And anything for a parent, as soon as your kid can drive, you'll find out how bad your kid wants it.
Yep.
Because you're not taking them anymore.
Yep.
When they drive, the more they're here, you know they want it. There are sometimes kids can drive and we don't see them ever again.
Wow.
So that's a big thing. Train where you want to train.
Yep.
The other big part that I would say, I'm not a big fan, honestly, of travel practices at all. So I think like...
No travel practices?
Not a ton. This is going to be... You got to have a couple hot takes, right?
Yeah.
So from a high school perspective, everything younger, if you're looking younger than high school, please practice, help them development, learn the small parts of the game. High school players, when you travel, I'm a huge believer in high school sports. I think the majority of high school coaches do a great job of teaching the little fundamentals of the game with bunting, base running, cuts and relays. Like Carol, Carol did a great job of that with me. Dirt ball reads, things like that. I am a believer on travel. It's, hey, you learn that stuff on your own and you better be showing up ready to play ball in the summer and get exposure, and that's it. Do I think you could have a couple practices during the winter? Yes. Do I think travel programs need to be practicing during the summer and the fall when the emphasis should be played on games, rest and development, or in the fall, which is, in my opinion, more like games, rest and development as well? That's something I look out for, is what does the actual practice schedule look like?
Mm-hmm.
Another big thing for me is the overemphasis on winning games in the high school level. I think
that's the big one.
I think if your goal is to play college baseball or softball, it shouldn't necessarily be about winning travel tournaments.
Yeah.
It should be more about playing in the right tournaments where you're going to get exposure.
Yeah, but those trophies and rings look good on social media.
Honestly, they do. I wish I had some. I know it's a hard thing because we want to be competitive. We want to win. We don't ever want to lose, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I would rather have somebody play in a top tournament and say they get beat by 10 runs every time, but they're playing top level competition,
mm-hmm,
versus maybe playing at another location in a lesser tournament and they win every game by 10 runs and they win the tournament and nobody's there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I like to push a lot too, is like, hey, make sure we're playing in the right spots. Not spots that we're going to win championships, but more that we're going to get the exposure that's needed to get recruited, right? And then look at, like, I feel like people who market their players the right way and give direct feedback. So
it's a big one.
If you look at social media, I think some travel organizations do a very good job of it. Some can definitely improve.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, all this stuff, just so everybody's aware, comes from not only like my personal playing experience, Sean's playing experience, my wife's, the 50 plus athletes we've helped in the college.
Mm-hmm.
We talk to many college coaches in baseball and softball on the regular. And we know what they want from a Division I to NAIA D3 level, right? For example, when you market your players, are we marketing post-tournament stats? Or are we saying, hey, you know, if a hitter's posting something, I had a lot of quality at bats, I was able to square the ball up, help my team win, and then you post 3 at bats where it's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like that option. 'Cause the stat portion for me, if you talk to a lot of college coaches, we just don't have any context of it. Like a girl may hit 800 in a tournament, but if it's a C-level tournament, we just don't get that context, so we don't know if that's truly good or not, right?
Competition isn't as good, so yeah, they're hitting 800.
Correct. So if I could give advice to anybody like that, like, look and see how these programs put it. Is it very stat-driven, or is it very like they're trying to highlight the intangibles? They're trying to highlight the characteristics of the kid.
Mm-hmm.
I like leaning towards that intangible characteristic standpoint, because that kind of helps colleges get a better idea of who they're getting,
right,
versus I mean, very rarely as a college team, like, hey, I saw you bet at 725 in this
right.
tournament. I'm going to contact
I'm
you.
Yeah.
They're more going to probably say, hey, we know this kid was good. We watched him. And even in-game, like, majority of colleges, yeah, if you go 4 for 4 with 4 bombs, like, yeah, you're probably going to get a follow.
Yeah.
But in most cases, like, they're watching how you carry yourself. Mm-hmm. I know this sounds cliche and everybody says it, but it's true. But, like, they're watching you running on and off the field.
Yeah, watching how you react to a mistake.
Yeah, like, how you deal with failure, right? Because when you go play college, all your accolades, anything you were, ranking, stat, who you played for, it's gone.
Yeah.
And it's solely about how you, like, handle that failure. So, you know, watch how programs market their players. Also, the direct feedback. So when I talk about direct feedback, when you're talking with the travel organization, the coaches and whoever, are they giving you realistic options on where they think your kid could potentially project to play in college? At this point, it is very rare for us to tell somebody they're going to be a Division I athlete based mm-hmm. upon how recruiting is.
Mm-hmm.
So it is interesting to see, hey, how do they react when we say, hey, you are going to be an NAIA Division III baseball player, softball player. Are you okay with that? I think we need to have a lot more of those conversations within travel ball. I think at times, like, for good or for worse, and it just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. We're either just not educated enough or we're not shooting the family straight enough.
Yeah.
To sell the Division I dream at this point, I think is just so hard compared to what it used to be. Just to give these people an example, like, I was 6'2", 185 pound, left-handed hitting outfielder in high school that ran a 6'9", 60 and threw 90 from the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell you, if you picked me up out of 2009, now I had a lot of other stuff, so I don't want to sell myself short, but if you dropped me in today's age, 6'2", 185, run to 6'9", throw a 90 from the outfield, I would tell you is not on the Division I level from a metric standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to be very realistic on what metrics looks like for kids, where we project them, and how that can go. And that's a lot of, like, our conversation through our batting evaluation is, here's where we can see if we work hard, right? We're shooting you straight. This is what it is. Sometimes people love it. Sometimes people hate it. Travel ball right now, and we see a little bit too much of overselling and under-delivering.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be great to kind of flip the switch. So as you're looking at those programs, are they giving you direct feedback in regards to that? What are they basing their feedback on? Do you feel like they're overselling? Do you feel like they're underselling? And I typically like the ones that are very direct, realistic, and undersell.
Yeah, especially the ones that, oh, we had 13 players, you know, play Division I baseball in our, you know, travel program's history. And it's like, that's great, but, you know, what are my kids?
Correct,
that's,
yeah.
You know, what can you – so, yeah, that's a lot of information for people to take in. I think that's a good place to start with all these, you know, travel tryouts going on around the city. I think that's a good place to start. And obviously after that, you know, everyone can make their own decisions based on their own preferences. But I think a lot of that definitely needs to be considered when it comes to, you know, looking at a travel organization. And you always see, this is a problem too, like, well, where you'll see a kid play for one travel program for a year or two, and then you see them trying out for a whole nother program,
yeah.
you know, trying to switch programs, you know, pretty often.
You see a lot of that, unfortunately. Some of it is needed, so it's tough because we experience some of that as well.
Yeah.
But some of it's not. I think sometimes when we do that, we get bad information. Whether it be from another travel coach trying to lure somebody to another team, whether it be from a, I don't know, maybe it could even be us at times, like hitting instructors, you know, mm-hmm. people like that. Like sometimes we give bad information, like that happens. But it's something to keep your eyes on. You've got to find a place where you're wanted, number one. Don't try to make people want you.
Yeah.
I am a believer in that.
Absolutely.
And at the same point, like you just mentioned it, it's, look into the history. You know, just because somebody may have had a lot of commits in 2010
mm-hmm.
does not necessarily mean the case now.
Mm-hmm.
That's some of the stuff that, like, I don't want to say it rubs me wrong, but when I look at travel programs and how the social media and the hashtags they use, one, it sometimes it's just not pertinent to what college recruiters are looking at.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's, I understand that they were really good from 2009 to 2013, had a lot of stuff, but
right.
over the past couple of years, they've only maybe had 2 kids per team.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's something to take notice. And it's hard here in Fort Wayne. Like we have I counted the other day, like 8+ travel programs here now.
Yep.
That might even be
missing a few at this point.
Yeah, I might be missing a few. So it's just hard to filter through the clutter, but you know, I think for the majority of people who are searching here in Fort Wayne, go where you're wanted. Some of the points that I gave, if you feel strongly about that, seek that out. Mm-hmm. Don't settle ever for anything less, right? And then just remember, like, at the end of the day, if the goal is for a kid to play collegiate baseball and softball, mm-hmm. Development is key. Exposure is not key anymore. Mm-hmm. Most of these, I would say 99% of these kids are not getting recruited until their 17U summer.
Yep.
Now, a couple kids will get recruited their 16U summer. They'll get calls August 1st, 100%. But I would tell you 99% aren't getting recruited till 17U summer. So it's all about how do you develop and set yourself up to be in a really good position at that time, because that's when it truly, really matters at this point. And that's hard to have patience for. Because it's changed a lot, man. And yeah.
Nobody has that. Nobody has patience anymore. Everybody wants that instant gratification.
Yeah.
They want things to happen today.
Yeah, and we do, too. And then we have a lot of conversations with our players and our parents about that. Like, you know, who we work with, we don't necessarily – we have some really good freaking players we work with and mm-hmm. families. Like, we do. Mm-hmm. But even we tell those players stuff like, we don't want you to necessarily be your greatest form in high school. Mm-hmm. Like, I would rather have you on this trajectory where, like, we're starting to hit this upward slope into your senior year. Mm-hmm. And then you go into college and you take somebody's spot and you're starting and you're playing, right?
Right.
I don't want to look back on it and say, hey, your sophomore year was your best stat-wise at high school and then everything was kind of downhill. I'd rather have, hey, the best is yet to come. Senior year, we're going out with a bang. And then we're going straight into college, full steam ahead, to take somebody's spot and kick butt. And it's hard to be patient for that. We want to enter high school right now as freshmen, and we want to be on varsity. We want to start. If we're not starting, it's the coach's fault. We're leaving. And unfortunately, things have definitely took a huge turn back to development. Mm-hmm. I wish travel ball, not to go off on another thing, but I wish travel sports in general. I talk a lot in here about a pendulum swing, right? Mm-hmm. And it swung in the other direction for so long about exposure, and that's where travel ball has become this big business. Mm-hmm. And travel organizations, tournament stuff, you know, showcase stuff, it's big business now. Like, people make a lot of money off of it, right?
Yep.
The pendulum swung so far in that direction. I don't know if it can swing back in the other direction, to be honest. And I complain about it all the time. But when I put stuff on social media, I don't want to be a complainer. I want to provide solutions if I'm going to complain.
Information,
you know?
And that's why we're here today. It's just giving you information. That way you can make your own decisions based on
– Yep.
Because everyone doesn't know everything.
We all need
you know, help and opinions from elsewhere. And for someone that's been here, experienced it, and is part of the, you know, part of the reason – you know, kids are getting help and are getting better and are getting recruited. I think it comes from a genuine place here.
Yeah, it is really, I hate to say it, like we are super genuine. I care about this. Like, I think about GSB and helping our kids 24/7. Mm-hmm. Like, my wife and I talk about this stuff at home all the time with my parents. Sean and I talk all the time about this. Like, I care about this. I am extremely passionate about this. It is not about me. It is not about Andrea, it's not about Sean, it's not about Ashley, it's not about us. Like, it is solely about the kids and how can we help them and help their parents to not spend thousands of dollars they may not need to spend.
Yep.
And at the same time, like, I hope when people look at our social media, that reflects there too. Like, the logo is the state. It's not my face or anybody's face.
Yep.
If you look at our post, it is the kids. There are very few minimal posts at this point. There's no mic'd up Justin, Andrea, Sean's, Ashley's. There's no talking about us. And, you know, that's where I would say, like, be on the lookout from a travel perspective. Is it truly about the kids or is it about the travel program? And I was talking to my wife about this yesterday. I feel like this is a crazy take, but I get it. Is I believe high school sports are about the logo, about the brand, about the high school. You do everything for the greater good for the high school program to win. I think travel's the opposite. Mm-hmm. And I think travel should be about you do everything to help the kid, the family, and it's not about your logo or your organization. And unfortunately, at times right now, there are a lot of instances where it's too much about the travel organization, and that just doesn't feel right to me, you know?
Yep, that's a lot of stuff. But although, with all that being said, good luck to all the parents out there, good luck to the kids, and good luck to the travel programs. Hopefully we can see at least some kind of tide turn in the other direction and get a little bit away from a little bit of exposure and get a little bit more on the development side. Hopefully we get there. But one more time before we get out of here, definitely I want you to give the floor once again and highlight GSP Hitting, how people can get in touch with you.
Yeah, so I think, one, thank you for having me on, and was just trying to be as helpful as possible for parents and athletes for this. Not trying to bash travel sports at all.
Oh, not at all, because it's going to be here forever.
It's part of the beast, right?
Yeah.
And we just have to be educated through it. But to get in touch with us, like, we're on X, GSP _ Hitting. You can follow us. You can shoot us a message there. We have a website, which is gsphitting.com, where you can find more information about who's involved, how to get involved, and what we're about. I would tell you our main spot for our social media from a hitting perspective is on Instagram with gsp_hitting. And then from the sports performance side, which is growing, it is glass_sportsperform. And if you want to get involved, you can just fill out our contact list on the website. If you want to shoot us a DM, that's what we're about. And the thing I would stress is, and hopefully people felt it, like, we genuinely care, no matter who the kid is, to help them get in the right spot. They have to just be coachable, bring good energy, and work hard. And we're very much about quality over quantity. And I think if you saw the kids we have work here, they love it. We love them. And we just want to do our part to make an impact in this community and make things better. And the only other thing I'll plug about GSP real quick, like, it is about helping kids get to the college sports, but it's also about, like, making them better humans. We do put our older hitters with the younger hitters to have leadership opportunities. I would tell you, we've given over $25,000 back in 5 years to community initiatives. Actually, last Christmas, we were able to adopt 20 kids through foster care.
That's huge.
We raised over $3,500, I believe. And we actually took 25 athletes from GSP to Meijer, and we had them buy all the Christmas gifts for each kid.
Cool. Yeah.
Had them come back to our facility and had them wrap all the gifts for the kids. We had some parents here helping. We had lunch here, and we're about that. We're going to do more of that, because it's not about us. It's about the kids having a great experience, not only getting better in sport, strength, conditioning, speed, but also, like, just being a better human and a better leader. That's how you create further impact here in the city of Fort Wayne, because, and there's so much talent here from a baseball softball perspective, it's just underdeveloped. And we should be on the level of Indianapolis with everything. And we'll get there. And we're going to do our part in helping that.
Yeah. And then one final thing on that. You know, we both played around the same time, you know, 2009, 2010, and played with a lot of great players. And while we remember, like, man, so-and-so was a great player, what you remember most is, were they a good person?
Yep, 100%.
So 100% love that's part of what you guys do here at GSP. And thank you so much for coming on. And I definitely don't think this is going to be the last we talk. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And if anybody has questions or anything for us, whether it's travel ball, recruiting, or whatever, I'm always happy to pick up the phone and have a very candid conversation with anybody. So thank you for your time.